Thank you, PMRS, for this wonderful film. As you said, you're half South African, born and raised there, grew up there, and then you went to Berlin, where you still are based. You also did two feature fictions before that, The Unpolished and Ellen's Age, and which are German productions, as far as I know. So what made you go back to South Africa to do research for this film and also co-produce it there and shoot it there, for example?
Well, actually, I always wanted to make a film in South Africa when I was at film school here. Actually, during film school, I kept trying to convince commissioning editors in Germany to let me do a film set in South Africa during apartheid, pretty much based on my own family, which would have been very strange because they were quite peculiar. And the commissioning editors always said to me, no, that would be wrong, because we're not interested in that at the moment anyway. But so that didn't work out, and I'd shot and edited my first film, and I had this idea for a documentary that I wanted to make, which was called Good Hope, which was about, meant to be about people who'd fallen from grace in South Africa in the new time and were having to find ways to sort of cope. And it was meant to be quite a satirical documentary, fictional documentary or something. So actually 2006, Pandora Film sent me down to do research for that. And I wanted to use some of the members of my family, but as my first film was sort of slightly autobiographical, at least from theme, I sort of chickened out on the way down to South Africa. And then I thought, well, it's stupid now. I can't just call them up and say I'm coming home back to Berlin and I don't want to do it. So I thought, oh no, I'm going to actually use the research time that they were giving me to research for a fictional film. I just decided. And I actually was interested because paranoia was a part of this idea for this sort of fictional documentary. I thought, okay, I'm just going to research the security industry in South Africa because it is a huge industry. I mean, what used to be a police state sort of became kind of privatized anyway. And so I ended up spending sort of 6-7 weeks driving around the Cape, meeting all sorts of people who were in some way or another involved, be it insurance brokers or people who had businesses that would put bars on your windows, whatever, alarm systems, everything. And someone put me in touch with a small company consisting of two women who were doing polygraph testing. And I thought initially, oh, that's very interesting, but I'm sure that's police procedure. But when I met them, it was actually interesting because they told me, no, actually not at all. The police have their own polygraphers, and what they mainly do are pre-employment tests. Meaning that if people seek employment, it can very well happen that a company will ask them to do a polygraph test. So a company would have probably a selection of the people who've applied for the job that they think would be interesting, and these people, be it five, would be asked to do a polygraph test. They, of course, can say no, but of course, if they say no, they won't get the job anyway. So, but it went even further. These two women were saying, well, the worst kind of tests that they were sometimes asked to do were before people got married, that they would have each other screened or during a marriage or whatever. So I thought, wow, that's really an incredible thing because it's kind of like a metaphor for the sort of sense of insecurity and sort of lack of trust that sort of prevails in the current South Africa. At least that's how I experienced it. And I was thinking it's so strange, it's almost like a science fiction that you would need a machine to sort of bridge or find a way to actually trust someone, you know? And it was amazing how this sort of instrument had sort of invaded, let's say, the private lives of people in a way. So I came back really, really inspired, and we started to write Lila Faria. So that's where it came from.
Any questions from the audience?
He paid me to play in the film. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. No, actually, the thing was, it wasn't difficult at all. He liked the script very much, and he'd already acted in a Spanish film where he didn't even speak Spanish. He actually just learned Spanish for the film. And of course, he spoke English. He'd already been in a couple of English-speaking American films. So I think he didn't have a problem with that so much. No, he was, I think, quite happy to do it. And he came out. He came out for about a week and a half or 2 weeks. Actually, I wanted all the two actors, because the two leads actually not South African, and I wanted them out there for like 6 weeks prior to shooting, so that they would actually listen and learn. But they didn't have time. And but he came out, and he, I think, really loved it and found lots of inspiration. With the few people he was hooked up with, and I think he sort of put his character together based on those people. But yeah. Oh, you know, I've done a lot of casting myself, so I knew it would be a problem. And actually, the year before we shot 2012. The 2011 we started. Sending internees out to schools to document children and get their names or whatever. So we had probably about 4,000 or 5,000 kids in Johannesburg and in Cape Town. But actually, initially, the strange thing was that Lila Faria was written as a colored character, and I'd looked in South Africa for the right actress, and I hadn't found her. And then it was quite strange, because we'd been casting in mostly colored schools. So it was really peculiar when I had Raina, who plays Lila. I was a little nervous, because I thought, oh God, we're not going to find the right kid now to fit, you know? And so anyway, so a friend of mine, because I knew we had like something like 6-7 weeks pre-production. We had a very, very short pre-production in the end. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to be involved really in the castings of the kids. So a friend of mine, a director, came out, and she did workshop-based castings with hundreds of kids, literally. And Rapula was amongst them, but he really came in probably 2 weeks before shooting. I know, and it was crazy, because there was another kid there, he's actually also in the film, who wouldn't really have fitted with Raina, who plays Lila, but he was like the written Cain. He was a little beast, like a little kid from a horror film, actually, because that's how the character was initially written, a little manipulator, like, and that was my favorite, actually. But I cast probably a week before shooting. I started to work with these two kids, Rapula and Tyreek. That was his name. And with Raina. And Tyreek did an improvisation, and he just started to cry for some reason. I don't know why. We weren't awful to him or anything. And we couldn't convince him to do it again. And I just thought, okay, this kid's going to kill us. And I like him, but I'm going to start to hate him during the shoot. So, and Rapula did this improvisation, which was fantastic, because we improvised scenes that would actually be in the film. And there's this one scene at the beginning of the film where he's in the park and he's smoking with his, you know, much bigger friends or whatever. And we had a cluster of sort of 8 kids, all of the same age, all being cast for the character of Cain, and Raina would come and sort of take him away. And what Rapula did is he played stoned he improvised it for about 9 minutes, but he did it so convincingly And he was having so much fun, and it was actually shocking, you know. It was like, I mean, but it was funny too. And from that moment, it was just so clear that he would be the one to play that part. And he was amazing, I have to say, because he was so bright and so strong. And then, of course, he had lots of women fighting over him during the shoot because, you know, August, whatever, but Rapula was like, I mean, literally, everybody was fighting for his attention. Yeah, he's a very talented boy.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time because the other people are waiting for the next screening. So maybe you could be available for question outside. That would be great.
Of course.
And I would kindly ask you to leave the space quite quickly so that we can do
stay
the re-entry
for the next
afterwards.
Film.
Yeah, stay and stay for the next film especially, yes. Thank you.